Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Today on Sticks In, we go back to look at PLL free agency as the first week has come to a close. Some more names have signed, some more people have moved, teams are taking shape a little bit. And then since it is Friday, positive Friday, we do our weekend preview. We're going to take a look at the college slate for the entire weekend. If you are enjoying the podcast, please do leave a like, subscribe, download, favorite, all that good stuff. Thank you again for coming back. Let's do it. Welcome to Sticks In on a positive Friday. My name is Dan Arestia. I am happy you are back with us again. Been an exciting week of PLL free agency so far. A lot going on. More than I had thought. On Tuesday this week, we kind of talked through some of the moves that had happened already, basically just on that first day, as PLL free agency did open on Monday at noon. The big moves on day one were the ones we covered in the pod on Tuesday. Jules Henningberg and Sergio Perkovic signed with the Chaos. The big one was obviously Garrett Eppel signing with the Cannons. And then Tim Trautner also went to the New York Atlas. He was the first officially announced signing of free agency in 2024. So I touched a bit on some of the others that myself, some other people had reported. I know Chris Rosie has put a lot out there. He's doing a great job too. Some of those that weren't announced yet, there was like Jake Richard to the Water Dogs has now become official. Kevin Rogers to the Chaos has now become official. But we've had a bunch more moves since then. So why don't we just kind of, I think it makes sense to go kind of team by team and just check in with the eight squads and see what's going on. So we'll do it alphabetical by team name, I guess. Archers, they've done nothing so far. The one thing that's Archer, I guess, kind of related is Reed Bowering signed a one-year deal with the Atlas. So Bowering, he only saw action literally in the championship game, and he scored a goal. He was playing there for the injured Connor Fields. Look, he had an outstanding college career. He is very, very good in the indoor game. If you're an NFL fan, you know that Reed Bowering is no joke. He's a quality offensive piece for them to use, you know, with Jeff Teat in those kind of, you know, if you want to have Teat and in indoor kind of concepts playing outdoors, he's a good player to pair with him. When it comes to the Archers, I think the big news that people are going to wait on is really Matt McMahon. I personally am of the mind that he will either play for the Archers or not at all. We'll see kind of what happens there. The Atlas, as we just said, they signed Bowering. Other moves of note that they have made, you know, we covered Trautner on Tuesday, but they signed Ronan Jacoby, the championship series standout. Look, he played his way onto somebody's PLL roster in that event. Deservedly so, is he getting a chance. He was one of the best offensive players in the entire tournament. He was there with the Archers, but the Atlas are the ones who get the deal done with him. Maybe surprisingly, maybe not. I don't know. After the event, you know, obviously with Jacoby and the way he played, it was kind of a story, you know, and people were asking, Coach Bates, you going to sign this guy now or what? And Coach Bates did not immediately jump at an answer that was like, oh yeah, we can't wait. It was, look, we're going to take a hard look and we expect other teams to be in the mix too. And I think given the Archers' offensive personnel, it probably didn't make sense for Bates to try to get into some kind of bidding war to bring Jacoby in. So, you know, Atlas gives him a good offer. Bates says, I'm not going to match it. Jacoby goes to the Atlas. But I think that's one of the things that you can kind of sell the championship series on for us, you know, field fans too, is you're going to find a guy in that event who's going to get interest, not just from one team, but from multiple teams in Jacoby's case. And he's going to get a deal with the Atlas. So good for him. He'll run out of the midfield for them, I'm sure. But I can't wait to see him in camp, getting comfortable with those guys. The Cannons, obviously we've had a few things going on outside of Garrett Eppel at this point. This afternoon, Max Wayne got a new deal for 2024, so their pole depth gets even deeper. Wayne was a regular starter for them last year. He is a solid pro. I like his game a lot. Yeah, and obviously he goes way back with Coach Mikey Thompson to the CNU campus and the success that Max Wayne had there. It really is no surprise to see those two stay together. The Cannons signed Zach Tucci, a 30% exception player from the Water Dogs. If you're unfamiliar with what that means, in the PLL, if you are healthy and you are eligible to be active for a game, and 30% of the time or less you are actually rostered, if you're a healthy scratch a lot, is the short version of this, but the mathematical version is 30% of the time or less you are active rostered, then you can opt out of your deal and you can enter free agency. If another team is like, oh, we want that guy, then you can sign a deal and with the new team. It's a whole new deal. It's not like the new team assumes your current contract. Your current contract gets scrapped and you go to the new team. If there's no interest in you, then you stay with your current club on your current deal. So Tucci, as a face-off guy for the Water Dogs, as we all saw, the Water Dogs were the first team to bail on the face-off with the shot clock change that basically left Tucci without a job and a healthy scratch every week. Because of that, he said, I'm a 30% player. I want to test free agency. He does. Now, teams can't have a pole face-off anymore, so they need a specialist again. The Water Dogs have this cheat code named Zach Currier on their roster, so they still don't need a face-off guy if they don't want one. They can just have Currier do it and keep doing the prevent thing, but have Currier be the guy who takes the face-off. The Cannons, on the other hand, probably need somebody now. They were using Ethan Wall to take all their draws. He can't do it anymore. Tucci was outstanding in place of Jake Withers 2 seasons ago. Wiz obviously didn't play this last year, but 2 years ago, if Withers was banged up, you saw a lot more of Tucci. You saw him in the mix, and he really did play well. So he's got good tape at the pro level. The Cannons are probably going to need a guy. I bet they draft somebody too. But looks like Zach Tucci gets now a chance to kind of pick his career back up, even with the rule changes and stuff like that. So he opts out of his deal with the Water Dogs and gets a new deal with the Cannons. The Chaos, my God, slow down. Please, Chaos, slow down. Too much. Outside of the free agency thing, Josh Byrne got extended through 2026. Jack Rowlett has an extension through 2026. Blaze Reardon reportedly is getting the same deal. I think I saw Kyle Bennett tweet that too, that Blaze is getting a deal through 2026. No surprise here to lock up that trio, right? Those are the guys where you don't let them hit the market. You don't let them out of your sight. Those guys are your keepers for the career. The Chaos also signed Pat Resch, their top SSDM, to a new deal for next year. Resch is a, in my mind, tremendously underrated defensive midfielder. I don't think he's ever even been a finalist for SSDM of the year. I might be wrong about that, but I know 2 seasons ago, I think he led the Chaos in cost turnovers as a shorty. He is great on way. He's a really good player. So Pat Resch gets a new deal with the Chaos. I reported that Johnny Surdick has a new deal that hasn't been announced or anything yet, but it sounds like Johnny Surdick's deal with the Chaos to stay with them is done. Look, the Chaos are speedrunning free agency. They are building a monster of a roster in the process. They made massive moves on day one. They've continued to lock up stars all week. Chaos are flying out of the gate here. The Outlaws, nothing. Quiet. Looming, possibly. Their free agent faceoff man, Connor Farrell, got a deal, but indoors, not outdoors. The Buffalo Bandits signed Farrell for 2 years, and I'm happy for Farrell. Because he's, you know, look, he's coming from Post or LIU, I guess. He works like crazy to be a two-sport athlete there, and then to make it to pro lacrosse and stick in pro lacrosse. Ultimately, is an all-star, is a personality for the league, builds this whole thing around himself, and then you get a rule change that kind of sidelines him. I'm glad to see him and his career get a chance to continue there in Buffalo, indoors. I hope he gets somebody to give him a shot outdoors. We'll see, but he's worked hard enough to earn it for sure. So happy for Farrell to see him get the deal with Buffalo. We'll see what the PLL prospects look like, but otherwise, nothing really yet here for the Outlaws. That, you know, they made some moves prior to free agency. They added Dylan Gergar, the Penn grad who is, you know, didn't get much PLL run last summer because he got added basically when the season was over. But he is a very, very smooth attackman. He's got a great stick, great handle. He's not a guy who will need the ball a lot to be dangerous. So as the Outlaws try and build this offense back and see what they look like, then, you know, he's going to have a role there. I don't really expect a ton from the Outlaws in free agency because, look, they picked three times in the first 11 slots in the draft and, you know, call it about a month, 6 weeks time, whatever it is. If you have those three picks, one of them could be Brennan O'Neill if you want. Like, you can remake your offense with those three picks if you want to. And if you look at kind of what's left out there in the market and what's maybe on the table for them, probably makes sense to just try and look at the draft, build guys there, see if you can get some post-draft ads, find some guys at camp, that kind of thing. There's no need to really go crazy in free agency right now if you're the Outlaws. You got those picks. You're probably, you know, looking at what you got. They locked up their defensive end of the ball with JT Giles-Harris, Tarasenko, all got signed. Manley has a new deal for another year. So their defensive end is solid how they like it. And their offensive end, we're probably going to be looking at draft picks. The Redwoods, a few moves got made after that first day that had Redwoods fans panicking, I guess. As I tried to say on Tuesday, needlessly panicking. Just calm it down. They had two more defenders, Holden Garland, Chris Fake. Garland, if you're an indoor fan, you've seen him play for the Rush. He's been a little banged up this year, but you've seen him play in the outdoor game. You saw him on the Cannons two seasons ago. Well, he really was pretty solid. You know, he had 20-something ground balls, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 or 10 caused turnovers. He's a good player down low. He's not going to be like a superstar. He's not going to, you know, even be like an all-star for you, but he'll be solid and you can count on him every week. So, you know, that's a kind of guy who's a good in your locker room kind of guy. Foxhole guy to kind of have. And those are the guys that the Redwoods seem to be trying to build around here. Chris Fake, they add, you know, Fake was a Water Dogs draft pick who didn't get much run for them. He kind of felt like a guy that they picked in the draft to say, we need somebody who can be physical defender for us, who can be kind of a win the physical matchup for us until we get some of our indoor guys back or guys are healthy, that kind of thing. And, you know, maybe there wasn't going to be a regular 19-man spot there for Fake. So he gets a chance now to go to the Redwoods as a 30% guy as well, because he did not play a lot for the Water Dogs. So he 30% opted out and Redwoods pick him up. So he'll get an opportunity there. There's a nice young defense kind of coming together there for California. You got Owen Grant, who's a freak and spent all of last summer basically hurt. Didn't get to see a lot of him, but he is a special defenseman and he will be a cornerstone piece for them. Arden Cohen is still there. They got Ryan Kennedy for another year, and now you add Garland, you add Fake. If you want to really get after it, you know, where the Redwoods are drafting, they'll probably have their choice of first pole taken in the draft because of how offense heavy the draft is. So, you know, the defense is kind of getting remade a little bit there. They make the Vicky Biazon signing official this week. As I had said, at the championship series, the word around was they love him. They can't wait to sign him. He's priority one, and so they get it done. Vomar gets a new deal. You know, there's kind of your big midfield group is getting built there with Vomar, Vicky, Charlie Bertrand, Cole Kirst. kind of see that again. They love the big middies, getting that big midfield formed that all has range too. You know, so it's interesting. As much as it's like the Redwoods are blowing it up, the pieces that they're adding are pieces that would make sense for them to add any year. So it's really just going to be about not a scheme change, but a culture change for them and that kind of thing. Handing it over to some of these newer guys. IDA got a new deal. Jack Kelly gets a 2-year deal. You know, so those kind of big time pieces on the defensive end stay with the Woods. Ryan Lee signed. That was kind of a late news today as you're listening to this. It's Friday, but I'm recording on Thursday night. Ryan Lee got signed for a new deal late in the day. I really hope he gets a chance to play. The knee injuries for him have really been brutal. He's missed a lot of time the last few years with lower body injuries, and he's such a special scorer. He is just an automatic goal. It's unreal how good he is at just finding ways to get open without the ball, to shoot. Like, he's such a good and smart player. So you hope he's healthy and he can get out there, because, you know, a John Grant Jr. coached offense with a healthy Ryan Lee in it is one that's going to produce. It really will. But I, you know, you look at these signings, you look, Redwoods fans, take a deep breath here. I know you freaked out on Monday because it's like everybody's leaving. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Really is. The Water Dogs, Ryan Conrad got extended today through 2025. So that's kind of, he wasn't set to be a free agent. Michael Sowers gets a new deal through 2026. You see a lot of the megastars in the league getting the 3-year deal to lock them into place. I had heard that there was an incentive now for guys to take 3-year deals, that you can get more money that way. But I don't know how much, you know, stock, if that's true or not. We talked about Chris Fake again leaving already, so he signs away from the Dogs. The big news around the Water Dogs now is still going to be who's going to be running the ship here, who's coaching the team. The interviews, as I've heard and I've said, are still going on. I heard the candidates I know of for sure are Joe Spallina and Stephen Brooks are candidates for the job. The pool could still be pretty big, but I heard those two guys are certainly in it. So I think both those guys make sense. But that's kind of the next big thing here for the Water Dogs. All their guys are pretty much signed. You know, not a whole lot of free agent moves you would still expect. Their remaining agents are like Charlie Kitchen, who's coming back from a hip injury. And, you know, you kind of see if he can come off the pup list to contribute maybe. And then, you know, James Riley's a 30% guy who could opt out of his rookie deal. But yeah, I don't know if anybody else is going to sign him. And if he comes back, it seems like the Water Dogs are done facing off for as long as that courier is on the team. It's just going to be him doing it. So we'll see. You know, maybe the new coach has a different philosophy there, but that seems to be the way they're building the roster. But that's the next big thing for the Water Dogs. Who's going to coach this team? And for the Whips, it's quiet really since the Heacock deal. Not much else going on there. They have one big name that's a pending free agent, or that is a free agent right now. We'll have to wait and see there. I'm not even going to say anything about it. We'll wait and see there. And then I think a positive move that maybe we didn't mention on Tuesday, but we could have, Joe Nardella is added to the active roster. If you're a Whips fan, you love seeing that. You know, Petey was okay for them for a rookie last year, but Joe is really their primary face-off guy. With this rule set, he is built for success in it because of how skilled he is offensively. He's been great for Albany this year indoors. He's in the, you know, the high 60s, 70% kind of neighborhood facing off the last time I looked. So and look, he's scrapping with people. It looks like he's ready to fight somebody every other play. He looks healthy, man. He looks healthy. So Whips fans, I'm sure you are glad to see that. But that's a busy week right there. Very busy. Some teams, again, kind of looks like maybe we're holding out for the draft at this point a little bit, like the Outlaws. Other teams, you know, like the Chaos are churning and burning, getting the roster locked up, bringing in new guys, all that kind of stuff. Some teams doing a bit of a reset culturally in the locker room, like the Woods. Other guys just kind of in a holding pattern. The Archers just kind of feel like they're just hanging out. You know, I was listening to the IL podcast this morning with Kevin Brown and Chris Rosenthal were on it, and, you know, Kevin was talking about how he thought this would be this kind of quiet, guys just stick with their squad kind of free agency. I very much thought the same thing. But that first week, man, that's got some moves, that's got some deals, it's good stuff. Even the stuff that it wasn't like a free agent move, like, you know, the Chaos locking up Byrne, Rowlett, Reardon through 2026. See these guys getting these big deals. I thought Sauer's getting extended through 2026 is a big deal considering the way the championship series ended. You know, you're looking at his health, his availability there was up in the air for some folks for a while, but, you know, it's a good sign there, I guess. So, busy week. I'll tell you what else I loved about it. I love the way players, in some cases, were getting themselves involved in it, particularly on social. Like, you look at the chaos guys like Troy Ray and Jared Newman. They're on social telling guys, hey, announce stuff. They're active. They're engaging with it. That's the good stuff. Players taking part like that on their own should be highly encouraged. Yeah, I saw T.D. Earl, and he was pumped to have Chris Fake back with Tevlin and him getting the Yale crew together and everything. The more widespread that is, I think the better. Again, player personality, put these guys out there. That's good stuff for me. On to the college slate for the weekend. Big Friday. It's a good lineup this weekend. I think the highlight is the Crown Classic. Obviously, that's got some great games down there in Charlotte at multiple levels. There's a couple D1 ones that are getting played down there that we'll talk about for the men. But, you know, it's really a cool event that's become a fun thing to watch every year. I like that they keep doing it and that different matchups get rotated through it, too. So we'll start with the game today, Friday, UMBC in Richmond. Spiders are a 7.5 goal favorite, and this should be comfortable for them. The real test for them coming is Duke. I keep saying it. I think Richmond's good. I think they're well coached, but you can't build a resume as a good team, as one of the good teams in the country, by losing games. Sooner or later, you need to play the good team and win. You can take care of business against the not so good teams like they're doing. That's part of the job too, but you need to see them not just say, you know, to take Maryland to the edge, to play Virginia tight. You need to beat somebody. You need to beat these teams. So beat somebody. I think that game against Duke is their next chance to do it. And then, you know, in the A-10, they'll probably be a favorite, but that'll be a fight. That won't be easy. Monmouth and Delaware. Delaware is a 9.5 goal favorite on the road here. Monmouth won two straight against Wagner and then double OT against the Mount. So neither one of those is probably inspiring a ton of confidence in you. The Hens are obviously a different animal. These are the games where Delaware just kind of gets right by the opponent, but it's not going to do much for them come late April and May. Delaware's got Syracuse next week. That's the big one. I've got the Hens comfortably here, covering the 9.5 against Monmouth, but this is another one of those, like we talked about with Richmond. That's a TCB game. Just take care of it. Get the win. But you need to notch that win against somebody who's a contender, who's a heavyweight. And that's chance for them is next week. Army and Holy Cross. Army's a 13-goal favorite in their first week as a team that got number one votes. They are much, much better than Holy Cross at every position, but they have yet to win a game by double digits this year. Even they played Mercer and Lafayette, didn't win either game by double digits. It's a gigantic line. So I'm going to take Holy Cross in the two touchdowns here. I'm taking Holy Cross plus 13 to cover against Army. Look, they ain't winning the game. I'll take them to cover. Bellarmine and Marquette. Bellarmine's plus 3. They've won two straight, but those are Hampton and then they had a good win last week. They beat Marist last week. Marquette has lost 3 straight. But those 3 are Notre Dame, Michigan, and Utah. No easy ones in there. And the Utah game was a 1-goal game and low scoring. So I like Marquette usually in those low scoring kind of games where they can slow things down a little bit. I'm going to take the Eagles in this one. So give me Marquette minus 3. This is a tough one, but I'm going to take Marquette minus 3 here. St. John's and Binghamton. Binghamton's a 3.5 goal favorite. They won over Mount a week ago. The Johnnies lost to the Dolphins last week. I'm going to be on Binghamton here. Coach Turry got his first win this season. I have faith in Coach Turry as a coach, as a culture builder, all that. I keep saying it, but it's just going to take some time at St. John's. So give me Binghamton. Maryland and Brown. Last week, I wondered if Georgetown would get trapped by Bruno. And what they did was they erased Aiden McLean, and Brown could basically not do a thing. Maryland has the formula to basically do exactly that again, and they can do it with one guy. So you'll probably see Ajax Zapatello and Aiden McLean joined at the hip all day. And it's a giant line. It's 10.5. It's Maryland minus 10.5. I feel a bit nervous doing it, but I really think Brown is going to struggle to score goals in this one. I'm going to take the Terps, but that's kind of an icky feeling. 10.5 is a lot for a Maryland team. But I'll go Maryland minus the 10.5 and be very prepared to lose to Bruno here. Cleveland State and the Bonnies, Vikings 2.5 goal favorite. They're 2-3. They just beat Canisius, who I'm a fan of. I think that's a decent win for them. I'm going to take Cleveland State here at home against St. Bonaventure. Penn State and Cornell. So, as you know, I do three favorite games every week, and I kind of write about them and talk a little more at length about why I like them. This is the first of those. I'm sure you can guess why. It has a lot to do with the fact that whatever the over is going to be fun. But you can read more about why I like this game so much at sticksinlacrosse.com. So check that out to hear about Penn State and Cornell. UMass Lowell and Fairfield. The Stags got boat raced by Bryant midweek. There's a new OC in Fairfield. There's some guys in new roles, developing roles. You know, some young guys getting in the mix. When that happens, you're going to have the up and downs. You know, they beat Providence. They score 14 goals. They lose to Bryant. They score 5. I think this is going to be an up game for them. So give me the Stags. I haven't seen a line yet. As you know, as always, I live in Connecticut. And that means when I look at DraftKings, I cannot see the lines for teams that are in Connecticut. So I don't know what the line is in this game for Fairfield. But if you want to share it with me, I would very much appreciate it. Let me know what Fairfield, I imagine, is favored by. High Point and Jacksonville. This is a crown game down there at Charlotte. High Point is a 1.5 goal favorite at plus money. Slight money line edge for them, I think, last I looked. Panthers, they put a scare into Georgetown. Don't let anyone tell you different. I know the final score was 14-8, but that's a few big saves from Anderson Moore. A couple late goals made it seem not so close. That game was close. High Point came to play. Jacksonville did the exact same thing to Michigan. Jacksonville up at halftime against Michigan. This is kind of a fun matchup of those fringy top 20 teams that are just on the outside trying to beat somebody that'll put them in. So I'm going to take High Point with the value, but this is going to be a good game. This is not, I know there's a lot of good games over the weekend, but find some time for High Point and Jacksonville. NJIT and Lindenwood. One second. Oh, what's that? One second.
There can be only one.
It's the Highlanders. NJIT minus 7. Every single time. VMI and LIU. LIU is a 1.5 goal dog at horrible value. They're on the road at VMI. The Keydets are, look, they're as fun as it gets. And if you're into picks, you know I like to pick VMI. Rustarucci is going to score a ton of points. They're going to scrap. They're probably going to lose, but man, do they cover. Give me VMI, even as a favorite at plus money. VMI minus 1.5. Yet again, I've learned nothing. Ohio State and Notre Dame. A good one. I think this is a good one. Ohio State's kind of living, you know, in people's anywhere between like 18 and 22 kind of in people's rankings, I think. They're at home for this one. They're plus 5. The defense got cut up by Cornell a week ago. Bobby Van Buren, I think, is clearly not 100%. I think you kind of saw him limping a little bit at the end of the game, maybe. That's obviously going to be part of struggles that they have, especially against an offense like Cornell's. Notre Dame can cut you up too. But like the athleticism on that Ohio State defense is as good as anybody in America's. Until last week, Fayok had really been good in net. The Cornell kind of crushed his GAA a little bit. But I think asking a freshman to handle that Cornell offense and then go right into a Notre Dame offense, that's a tall order. But I am going to take the Buckeyes. I'm going to count on Tommy Burke to help me with the pace here. But I'm going to take the Buckeyes plus 5. I don't think they're going to beat Ohio State. I don't think Ohio State's going to beat Notre Dame. But I could see Ohio State playing them to, you know, 13-8, 13-9, that kind of thing. Stony Brook and Providence. The Seawolves won against Dartmouth midweek. Providence coming off that loss to Fairfield. The Friars are plus 3. I've been bullish on Stony Brook all year. So I'm not going to quit on it now. I think the Providence defense needs a little bit of work. So give me the Seawolves minus the 3. And I got a huge game here coming from Dylan Palinetti. I'll take Stony Brook minus 3. Sacred Heart, Siena. Both these teams are awesome against the spread. My go-to the last several weeks has just been to pick these guys whatever the line is because they just keep covering. But I do not see what the line is yet because this is Connecticut and Sacred Heart is in Connecticut. Just on recent form and the way they've been playing lately, I like Sacred Heart more. I haven't been a Siena guy since preseason. I know they return a good group, and a lot of people like them in the MAC, but I'm going to take Sacred Heart here. I have not been a Sienna guy this year. Towson and UVA. UVA is a 7-goal favorite. They just beat Bobby Moe. Towson thumped UMBC last. Towson made a believer out of me so far this year. If Gobriel can't go in this one for UVA, Towson can win the faceoff game. Konstantinides is no joke. UVA has really never been a good team against the spread. I went back and looked. They haven't done it this year, and they didn't do it once last year, cover a spread of 7 or more. Not once. Does that really matter? Probably not. But they just UVA does not cover these big spreads a lot often. So I'm going to take Towson, and I'm going to say UVA doesn't cover the 7 goals. Give me Towson. BU and Bucknell. BU, I'm sorry. I love you. I just cannot trust you right now. They gave up 16 to Navy last week. They smacked Brown the week before that. And they lost ugly to Bryant the week before that. So it's kind of all over the map for the Terriers. Bucknell, they play teams hard. They are young. They are hungry. They are really young. Grandolfo and Brunner are two of their better offensive midfielders. They're both freshmen. 6 goals, I think, is just too much for me here. So I'm going to take Bucknell plus 6. This is a game BU should win and will win. But give me Bucknell plus the 6. Albany and Hobart. The Danes are somehow winless. I looked up and they don't have a win. How does that happen? Look, they lost 4 games. 3 of those games are by 1 goal. So it's not like they're getting blown out, but I'm surprised they aren't winning games. They are a 2-goal favorite here against Hobart, despite the winless record. Hobart's not great either, but they aren't a pushover. I think this is the weekend Albany breaks through. It's their first home game since February 17th. I think being at home helps them get comfortable, get some confidence. I think they get the win here, and I think they cover the 2 goals. So give me Albany. Hofstra and UNC. Carolina went 1-1 against the Ivy League last weekend, beat Penn, who clearly looked like a team that emptied the tank the day before or whatever it was. And then they're a 7-goal favorite against Hofstra on the road. They're coming up to Long Island to play Hofstra. I remain higher than most, I think, on Hofstra, and I am not about to stop now. So give me the Pride covering at home. They are not winning this game, but give me Hofstra plus the 7. Nova and Penn. Penn's a 2-goal favorite. There really isn't a road team in this one. Penn just beat Duke. Obviously, they're riding high on that, even though they got smacked by UNC the next day. But look, you're coming off a Duke win, you're still feeling good. I don't know what it is. This just feels like a game that Villanova wins. It's just got one of those vibes to it. They've won 3 straight. They played Yale tight. I just get Villanova win vibes in this game. I don't know what it is. Who needs analysis when you have vibes? Give me the Wildcats plus 2. I'll take Villanova plus 2. UMass and Vermont. Vermont's a 4.5-goal dog. That feels like way too much for me. I like UVM at the faceoff spot. I think they're better than their record. I know they've played tough teams, but I don't know what kind of success you can expect them to have against Matt Note in net, but if you get in a rock fight, I'll be happy to take the goals. So give me UVM plus 4.5 here. Canisius and Quinnipiac. I don't see a line yet because Quinnipiac is in Connecticut. This is 2 teams that have been fun to pick because Canisius gets, I think, a little bit underrated and Quinnipiac has kind of come out of nowhere. And they're playing each other. So right now you're asking me to pick between my kids here. I'm going to go with the local, of course. So give me the Connecticut team. I'll take the Bobcats in the dark. Please send me the lines. Loyola and Duke. The Hounds, who I just cannot figure out, are an 8-goal underdog. Duke lost to Penn in that sloppy one. They couldn't clear. They couldn't win a face-off. They played ugly in that one, and they deserved to lose the game, and they did. But they should be able to win face-offs and clear the ball against this Loyola team. So with the giant line, I always tend to lean towards the underdog. 8 goals is a lot. This is a game I want really no part of. I wouldn't bet or go anywhere near this game if I was actually betting. But I will pick the Hounds. I'm a sucker for the lot of goals. Give me the Hounds plus 8. Lehigh and Navy. I think this is a good one. Lehigh's a 1.5-goal favorite at plus money. You have a matchup of possible PLL pros here in Jackson Bonnets and Scott Cole. Lehigh just lost by 6 to Villanova, but they played Rutgers and Cornell close. Played really good games with those teams. I like Navy's defense. I think when they execute, they can be really, really good. They can be excellent. I think this could be a close one, so I'm going to take the mids getting the goals here. Give me Navy plus 1.5 at crap value. Wagner and Marist. Marist Ved Fox has been a favorite squad of mine this year. They got a bunch of freshmen out there, but they're hanging with teams. They're really hanging tough with teams. So they lost to Bellarmine by a goal a week ago, but they beat Bucknell. They beat Jacksonville. They're not bad. They really aren't. Marist is a solid squad. So they're favored by 8.5 here, which is a lot. Even against Wagner, Marist minus 8.5 is just a big thing to say. But I'm going to stick with my guns here. Let's go with my guys. Foxes. Marist minus 8.5 is the play. Cuse and Hopkins. Rivalry game at the Crown in Charlotte. Should be great. Obviously, this is one of my three favorites of the week. So go read about this one at sticksandlacrosse.com. Michigan and Harvard, the last of my three favorite for the weeks. This is two teams with a lot to prove in this game. Big statement to be made by somebody here. So, again, go read about this one at sticksinlacrosse.com as well for Michigan-Harvard. Manhattan and the Mount. The Jaspers, 2.5 goal favorite. They are winless, but they are favored. That tells you a lot about the Mount, I guess, because the Mount is also winless. That's what it tells you. So somebody's getting their first W. The Mount has played back-to-back OT games. They are knocking at the door. They're on the cusp. I am going to take the Mount plus 2.5. In this one. Mercer and Lemoyne. Mercer's a two-goal favorite against Lemoyne this week. Mercer's also at home. Their only win right now is Hampton, but look, their other games, they played High Point, they played UNC, they played Army. That's a learn a lot about yourself kind of schedule there. Lemoyne played Denver to, I think, within a goal in the first half last week. They are not anything to sneeze at. I'm going to take Lemoyne. Let's get nuts. Give me Lemoyne plus 2 here. Rutgers and Princeton, Tigers are plus 1.5 at garbage value. Moneyline, I think, is even in this one. Kind of a Sopranos Bowl kind of thing here with Rutgers and Princeton. Tigers beat UNC last week and then got rocked by Duke. They've played a good schedule. Nate Kibiri is obviously the real deal. Everybody saw him torching the UNC defense. I think Gian Ficarro in the net is the difference in this one for Princeton. I think the Rutgers defense is going to struggle with Coulter Mackesy and company. So I will take Ivy League Meadow Soprano over Rutgers Jackie Jr. and give me the Tigers, even with the bad value. Tigers plus 1.5. Denver and Yale, the last of the games where I have no idea what the line is. This is Denver's first week as number one, and the Crown has been a curse the last couple of weeks. The top team has lost last week and the week before, Notre Dame and then Duke. So can Denver break the streak there? I don't know. Yale had a 9-2 halftime lead against Penn State last week and lost in overtime. The defense for Yale, particularly interior defense on the inside, just not getting it done. Denver's going to eradicate you if that happens. Silstrop obviously can win a matchup, but Malowski, he'll have a zillion goals inside if they can't protect the middle. I'm not afraid of the number one curse here. So unless the line is really pretty big, I'm going to take Denver in this one. St. Joe's and Drexel. Last game of the weekend, Drexel played a midweek double OT thriller with Villanova. The Dragons are no joke. I've said it all year. They are skilled. They're experienced. They have a good group back from last year. They are well coached. They are never going to be an easy out all year. The Hawks, they got their first win of the year against Air Force a week ago. They're looming in the A-10. Obviously, I like their talent. I've said it. I think they have a couple of pros on that team. Drexel's plus 2 here. I like them to stay close with St. Joe's. The Hawks, I think, win, but I'm going to take the Dragons. Give me Drexel plus 2 on that Sunday cap. And that's going to be it. That's the weekend. Check out the NLL weekend primer on the Sticks Insight as well. Everything you need to know for a stacked weekend in the indoor league. It's playoff push time there. There are teams with only about 5 or 6 games left trying to make sure they make a postseason. New York trying to give New York one postseason before they split town for Ottawa is one of them. So check out those games that are going to be going on indoors. You can read what you need to know about how to watch and when they are in the weekend primer at sticksandlacrosse.com. My three favorite games of the weekend in the college world are there as well. The PLL free agency tracker is there. That gets updated every day with the officially announced PLL signings, and the rosters are kept up to date in real time. So you can see what's going on, who's left to move, all that good stuff. I'm so happy you came back. Have yourself a nice positive Friday and a great weekend, everybody. And thank you for sticking around with me.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.